Welcome to episode 108 of Your Kids Next Read podcast, in which we talk about books and reading for kids of all ages. I'm Alison Tate, author of middle grade adventure series, The Mapmaker Chronicles, The Ataban Cipher, The Maven and Reeve Mystery Series, and my new middle grade novel, The First Summer of Callie McGee, out later this year. I'm here with my co-host, the slightly stressed Megan Daly, teacher librarian at Children's Books Daily and author of Raising Readers, and editor of the new anthology Teacher Teacher, which is coming out in August. Megan and I, along with our good friend, author Alison Rushby, are founders of the Your Kids Next Read community on Facebook. Search for Your Kids Next Read there to join us. So, what is occurring in the building project of Megan this week?
A lot of building, looking at kitchen bench heights, and also a lot of building around my child's arm. Oh. Because those of you who follow me on social media will have seen that my eldest, the teen, is in her 10th arm cast, 10. She's had every medical test under the sun. The diagnosis is clumsy, and she has ruptured some, I don't know, tendons or something.
Oh, that sounds painful.
Yes. So she's been in a full arm cast. And now we've just been to a hand OT and an orthopedic surgeon this week. And the hand OT was fascinating. Speaking of building projects, it was just amazing the way they've built this sort of robotic splint around her hand, which they built on the spot. There was pliers, there was hole punches, there was Bain Maries of water that were soaking this. Yeah, it was like, I said, that's the Bain Marie to soften this fiberglass casing. And she said, it is a Bain Marie. And by the end of it, my teen was like, I think this might be my backup career plan. She wants to be a pediatric OT now. It was fascinating. And she's come away with a kind of a robotic looking splint around her hand, which is quite impressive. So, and she managed to get out of a maths and a physics exam. So she's stoked.
Well, you know, there's a win.
There's a win.
For your ninth broken bone. That's amazing. Speaking of fascinating, I have been going through the reports from our survey, which of course completed, well, you know, just a couple of days ago as we're recording this. So we ran a survey for Your Kids Next Read, which was all about discovering more about our community, our listeners, the members of our group, our newsletter subscribers, like everybody. Like, we've become a bit of an industry. And it's just been so interesting. So a couple of things have stood out for me so far. I have a lot of data, and big shout out to Alex Brooks, who has helped me to put all of this stuff together and actually like manage to create this very impressive looking report that's got graphs and pie charts and all manner of things in it.
I do love a pie chart.
Well, I'd love a pie chart I don't actually have to do myself. It's amazing. Mm. So a couple of things have stood out for me. First of all, big thank you to everyone who participated. We had a really great response. I was so impressed by just how many people jumped on board to actually to do the survey. And of course, by the time you're listening to this, we will have announced the winner of the $100 book voucher in our Facebook community. So pop in there and have a look to see who it is that has won that. But just under half of the respondents have been part of Your Kids Next Read community in one form or another for more than 2 years. So a long time, and 11% of them have actually been with us right from the beginning. So that's like 6 years, which is really, really like, thank you very much to those people who are just like, you know, barnacled onto us, because we absolutely love and appreciate every one of you. 56% gave us 10 out of 10 for satisfaction. So it's more than half, which is amazing. And for the most part, it's all, you know, eights and nines, which is fantastic. 95% of respondents have read, bought, or borrowed books based on a Your Kids Next Read recommendation.
That's so brilliant.
Massive. And, I guess it's really affirming for me to read that, because it means that what we're doing is making a difference. It's actually putting the books into the hands of the people that want them. And the other thing I absolutely loved was that 91% have discovered a new author thanks to Your Kids Next Read. And that just makes me so happy, because that's the other thing we're about, which is
we're all about.
Yeah, it's shining spotlights on you know, books and authors that you may not have heard of, but that somebody else loves. And I think that's, you know, it's great. So I guess, you know, I'm feeling pretty chuffed with the report. I'm sort of currently working my way through the responses to the what do you love most about your kids' next read question, which is, I've got to tell you, a really, really nice way to spend a day. it's just like, oh, it's lovely. Yeah, so keep an eye out for the winner of that book voucher in the Facebook community. But really, I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who responded, and thank you so much to everyone who listens to this podcast and, you know, is engaged with our Facebook community, because, you know, Your Kids Next Read is all about you. We couldn't do it if it was just the three of us. There is no way that we could bring the breadth of recommendations and the variety of books and authors that, you know, our village brings to together. And we just want to, you know, we're thrilled you're all part of it.
From award-winning author Alison Rushby and Walker Books Australia comes The Ghost Locket, a captivating supernatural mystery set in a house haunted by secrets from the past. The Ghost Locket is perfect for readers 8+ who like their reads a little bit spooky. Find out more at alisonrushby.com.
All right, Megan Daly, speaking of thrilled, it's time for book mail, which of course is one of the most exciting moments of every week. So what have you got in your book mail this week?
Well, first up, I have got a picture book by author Anita Heiss. It's called Biddy Gulling by Anita Heiss, illustrated by Samantha Campbell. It's a picture book for a middle primary audience right up until, look, I would be using it in lower secondary as well. And you could certainly read it to a younger audience, but the length of the text, I think, puts it at about middle primary. Let me read you the blurb. Biddy Gulling, Big Rain, celebrates the Wiradjuri heroes of the Great Flood of Gundagai in 1852, told through the eyes of a young girl who is rescued from the raging floodwaters by her father. Wadagan grew up near the Murrumbidgee Billa. She loved dancing in the rain and listening to her father, Yari, tell the stories about life on Wiradjuri country. When white people started building on the floodplains, Yari was worried. He knew the power of the Billa and tried to warn the strangers, but they would not listen. Years later, the big rains came. This is the story of the Great Flood of Gundagai in 1852 and the Wiradjuri heroes Yari and Jackie Jackie, who paddled bark canoes through raging floodwaters, risking their lives to save countless others. Now, I read the story and absolutely loved it. And then I read the author's note, and it's interesting. Sometimes I think, depending on how you're using a book, sometimes I would use the author's note as an educator first before I introduce a book to students. And I think in this case, I probably would, because the author's note has this really moving account from Anita of her experience of being home on country, reflecting on the life her ancestors led in and around Wagga Wagga. And she's learning the Wiradjuri language and just realizing how blessed she was to be able to do this and be in this place sharing and learning something that her own mother had not had the opportunity to do. And she felt this very strong responsibility to share stories of this place and pay tribute to her ancestors. And this is where the story came from when she found this story of Yari and Jackie Jackie. And I just think sometimes in a school context, it might be good to read that first. Other times it's nice to read the story first. But I was talking to some grade 3 and 4 teachers about this book this week, and I've ended up buying 3 copies of the book for the library this week, because it fits really nicely with that whole telling stories of country and connection to place and the listening to our First Nations people and their wisdom about the country and about the rain and all of the, you know, their wisdom, basically. So it was a really powerful book for me, highly recommended for a school library, but also for a home library. And then the other one I have so greatly enjoyed this week is Sunshine on Vinegar Street by Karen Comer. It is a first novel for, I'm going to say, an upper primary audience. I'll read you the blurb. A sweet and emotional novel about friendship, family, and accepting change from a fresh new voice. Freya's world is turned upside down when she and her mum move to inner city Melbourne. Now she's stuck in a new apartment on the 11th floor, and Freya is afraid of lifts. Stuck in a new basketball team where not everyone likes a killer new player. Stuck in a classroom of kids who don't know Freya is a donor-conceived baby. Stuck, just like little Audrey in the skipping girl sign, suspended in midair over the suburb of Abbotsford. Being the new girl makes Freya feel like a dark cloud on a summer's day. Can she figure out how to belong on Vinegar Street? I've actually still got just a couple of pages. I tried to finish it this morning before we recorded, but I haven't quite finished. I've taken this book with me everywhere this week, and I've been reading it in between doing other things, which is not something I often do. But I find with a verse novel, you can do that because the chapters are quite short. I've just been captivated by the world of Freya. I love that she's a basketball player. I love that she's moved away from where her dad was, and her dad and her mum were friends, and she was, as it says, a donor-conceived baby. She's in about grade six, and they're learning about, you know, contraception and conception in class. So this is all coming up for her. So there's lots of issues which are great for an upper primary audience. It's just full of light and warmth and lots of emotion, but lots of friendship stuff. It's beautiful. There's lots of good food mentioned because mum owns a cafe. It's just wonderful. I'm so enjoying it, and highly recommended. And
it sounds great because Karen, so we talked about her YA.
Grace Notes,
which was also really good for a YA audience. And this is her debut middle grade. She's having a massive year, and it's so exciting. Like she's doing, you know, really, really well. I'm very, very chuffed for her.
I know. I was too. And I passed on my review copy of Grace Notes to Mrs. Malter because I'm not quite ready to pass Sunshine on Vinegar Street on to Mrs. Malter yet. She might need to get her own copy of that one. But I gave her Grace Notes because I've sort of been telling everybody about this book this week. So yeah, really, really enjoyed that. I do love a verse novel. And then finally, my latest issue of Storytime Australia magazine arrived. Issue 6 just arrived in the library this week. And I just wanted to give a bit of a shout out, particularly to school libraries. This is such a great magazine. It's packed with fairy tales, new and classic stories. It's got stories about animals, myths, legends. It's got really good illustrations, puzzles, games. It's for a 4 to 6 reading audience if you're reading it with a child or older children. We're using it in our literacy rotations at school with our grade 3s, looking at different text types. Also really useful addition to schools which have classes for English as an additional language. So yeah, issue 6 has just come out, but I think you can buy the back issues, and I'll put the link to buy the magazine in the show notes. So 3 recommendations from me today.
Fantastic. Well, I've got a couple of books to recommend today as well. Now I've read both of these ahead of some author interviews that I've done or am doing for the next, for a couple of episodes ahead. And I'm so excited because I am just so thrilled to be able to recommend both of them. You know, like it's particularly when I've read them cover to cover, always exciting. The first one is Hamlet Is Not Okay by R.A. Spratt. Now, R.A. Spratt, of course, is best known for Nanny Piggins and Friday Barnes and that sort of, you know, funny middle grade mystery sort of stuff. I have to tell you that I absolutely loved this book. Hamlet Is Not Okay. It is a funny, clever, short. It's 208 pages, YA novel. In those pages, RA has managed to nail being a teenager, particularly one who doesn't love reading and can't really be bothered doing homework. She manages to slip back and forth through time and worlds. She rewrites Hamlet. She gives new meaning to a character in Pride and Prejudice, and the whole thing just made me laugh. It's the kind of book that you read with sort of like a half smile on your face the whole way through because the voice is so, it reminded me of, I'm having a moment now, I'm getting a complete and utter time.
Can I tell you what Mrs. Malter said about the voice?
Yes.
Mrs. Malter said that she read it in the voice of R.A. Spratt because we both listened to bedtime stories by R.A. Spratt. And Mrs. Malter said, I felt like she was reading it out loud to me in my head. And it was quite funny because it arrived, I took it to school, and I hadn't read it. I still haven't read it because Mrs. Malter sort of, I could see she was just so excited. She was, you know, about to take off. And I said, would you like to read it before me? She's like, yes. So she took it home and read it and then had to read me out some extracts the next day, which she thought were just hilarious. So yeah, she absolutely loved it.
It's got that, sort of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy vibe, feel about it. The voice, I don't mean the subject matter or anything like that, but that voice that kind of has you knowing that you're sort of half in on a joke the whole time.
Okay.
And I totally agree because I also know RA and I could hear her talking to me the whole way through it. Like it was just, it's so her. I've got an interview coming up with her, as I said, in a few episodes, and it is so worth a listen. Like it's a great chat. So this is a big recommend from me. The publisher says 13 plus, and I'd go with that mostly because I think high schoolers will get the most out of it. Like if you've ever studied Hamlet at school or, you know that it's coming up for you, it just captures that whole vibe of like, why are we doing this? Like what okay. possible relevance does this have to my life today? You know, that sort of stuff. Well, absolutely 10 out of 10 for me. I absolutely loved it. And I'm so pleased for her because it's such a, I know it's a passion project. She really wanted to write this book. And the fact that
it's a bit of this change of direction, isn't it?
It is. And just the fact that it's done so well. I loved it. The other one I have is One Wrong Turn by Shanae Maripodi. And again, I read this one ahead of another author interview. And as someone who did ballet from the ages of 7 to 17, I was all over this. It's set in a ballet academy. We're talking rivals for the lead role. We've got all of the ingredients for great drama. And you can really tell that Shanae Maripodi knows her way around a bar. Like it's, she's been there, you know, this whole thing about like, why are you in the front or the back row? Like it's all of that sort of stuff. It's a really enjoyable read. And I think dancers in particular will love it. I'll just read you the back. I didn't read the back of Hamlet. It's not okay. Do you think I should? Anyway. Amelia's whole world revolves around ballet. Her sights are set on becoming a professional dancer just like her parents, and she won't let anyone or anything get in her way. But when Valentina turns up at the academy and quickly establishes herself as the new talent, Amelia's spot as a class favourite is in doubt. While Amelia is solely focused on beating her new rival, Valentina has bigger concerns to juggle. A family who doesn't understand her passion for ballet and trying to fit in with classmates that just see her as an outsider. As the two girls vie for the lead role in Cinderella, the pressure intensifies and one big lie could destroy everything. Dun, dun. It's a really fun read. It's a middle grade novel. And as I said, anyone who's got an interest in ballet will be all over this one. Absolutely. And that was our book mail for this week.
Are you wanting to supercharge the reading of young people in your life? Book clubs for tweens and teens help keep up the reading momentum and create literary conversation and community. Something we need now more than ever. Author and educator Megan Daly has been setting up book clubs for many years, and in her Build a Book Club e-course, Megan shows you how to create your own book club at a school, bookshop, or in your community. Regularly updated and expanded, the Build a Book Club e-course will walk you through the how and why of book clubbing, including book lists and tips for success. It's perfect for educators, library staff members, parents, caregivers, and allied health professionals. Visit childrensbooksdaily.com/shop to find out more.
Right, Megan Daly, let us move on to our bingo question of the week. And we are going to talk this week about one that's very close to your heart and to mine. It is a question that comes up regularly. We kind of wish it would come up more regularly because we love it so much. This week we are talking about books about gardening, are we not?
We are. Something we both enjoy in all of our spare time.
And so I said to Megan, we're going to talk about books about gardening this week. And she was like, great. And then I opened up our show notes document and there are 7,000 books about gardens listed here. And so I'm just going to let you go nuts on the gardening books because I know that it's something that you actually, you use them in your lessons quite a bit, don't you?
I do. Yeah, we look at a lot of books around the environment and gardening and taking action at school. And also the theme for Book Week this year is Read, Grow, Inspire. So I've seen in a lot of the school library stuff, Facebook pages that I'm in, I've seen a lot of people starting to do gardening displays in the lead up to Book Week because of that Read, Grow, Inspire theme. So this was timely as well to talk about books about gardening, and you and I just love gardening ourselves. I'll take you through some of the picture books that I've used in class a lot over the past year or so. Some of these are in print. Some of these will need to be borrowed from your school library. Yucky Worms by Vivian French and illustrated by Jessica Allberg is one that has been around for a long time. It's still readily available and it's such a great book about worms and their importance in gardening. Two of my absolute favourite gardening picture books are A Patch from Scratch and Emily Green's Garden. Patch from Scratch is by Megan Ford. Emily Green's Garden is by Penny Harrison, but illustrated by Megan Ford. They're fantastic books about gardening in urban environments and gardening in your backyard and building exactly what the title says, a patch from scratch. Like, how do we actually, you know, put together a vegetable garden and how can you start a garden inside your house. So I love those ones. I also love Florette by Anna Walker, and Millie and the Mulberry Tree by Vicky Connolly, illustrated by Deb Hudson, is quite a new one this year. Those ones I've used extensively with year two. The Potato People by Pamela Allen is an older title, but it's still in print. It's a really good one about growing potatoes with a grandparent. And a lot of young people will do gardening with grandparents. I know I certainly did when I was young because, let's face it, grandparents do have that little bit more time. And my children's grandparents love gardening. Nonna and Papa, my parents, do a lot of gardening, and my kids have all enjoyed gardening with them. We Are the Gardeners is an American title, which has won a few awards, and that one's a really good one. I love The Gift by Michael Speechley, which is about the power of growing and changing, I guess, not specifically, not just about gardening, but there's quite a lot happening in that book. I love that one. Sylvia,
just before you go on, can I just jump in here? I just want to remind our listeners, if you're sitting there trying to write titles down, that you will actually find a full list at yourkidsnextread.com, which is in our show notes. So you can actually just relax, have a listen, and then you'll be able to find the full list at yourkidsnextread.com and go from there. So I'm just going to say that now because this is an epic discussion. So I don't want you sitting there like trying to get it all down in shorthand, wondering what you're doing. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
I love The Gardener by Sarah Stewart, illustrated by David Small, also an American one. Up in the Garden and Down in the Dirt by Kate Messner is a newer one that I found recently. And very recently, you and I talked about The Garden at the End of the World.
Which we loved.
We did. We really loved that one. It's about the Global Seed Bank. And that one's a new title and really worth looking at from a gardening aspect, but also a conservation aspect. And then a couple of other older ones that I love are the Isabella's Garden, Mrs. Millie's Painting. A new one by Bob Graham is The Concrete Garden. It's out in a month or so. It's, again, not necessarily about gardens, but that one is about the importance of colour and sunshine and water in our lives. And then a couple of junior fictions are introducing Delilah LaRue by Nettie Hilton, illustrated by A. Yee. In that one, there's a championship rose garden. And I also really love the What Zola Did series by Melina Marchetta. There's seven in that series, one for each day of the week. And in that book, Nonna does amazing gardening and Zola, the little girl, is really involved in the gardening. And then a few nonfiction titles are Grow Your Soil, Let's Eat Weeds, A Kid's Guide to Foraging, which makes Mrs. Moulton nervous because she doesn't like the idea of, children going and eating weeds in their backyard. But, you know, I really like that title. And then there's a couple of other titles that I'll put in the show notes, like Growing Green, It's Our Garden, Backyard Self-Sufficiency. Actually, Jackie French has got a number of titles, which I'll link in the show notes. They're longer titles, as you can imagine, with Jackie French. She has a lot to say about, well, actually, maybe not everybody knows, maybe just because I love gardening. Jackie French was someone I grew up listening to talking about gardening on the radio. She used to be on television on Burke's Backyard talking about gardening. And my granddad had all of the Jackie French books. I have them in the school library. I find them really useful. Her Guide to Companion Planting, New Plants from Old, and The Wilderness Garden are all ones that I find good reference books. So, yeah, Jackie French is someone I really highly recommend in the gardening space. And then if you're looking for some gardening projects to do with students or at home, I would highly recommend buying seed bombs. And I'll link to my favourite seed bombs in the show notes, which are some bee seed bombs. And they're organic matter, which is impregnated with flower seeds that will then, of course, you know, you throw them like a bomb and they'll grow into beautiful flowers to feed our bee friends. And you just toss them into the garden and they're something that's just fun. I went to a birthday party recently, a kid's birthday party, and they gave out seed bombs instead of party bags, which that's I was really stoked idea. About. Yeah, yeah, I thought that was a really good idea.
I like the ones where you get the cards that have the seeds. Like I love it when you get a card and you can just, you know, pop the card in the garden and voila.
Well, actually, that brand of seed cards, it's got such a cute name. It's called So and So, as in S-O-W and So. And those seed cards I love. I was given one which had Billy Button seeds impregnated into it a while ago and they've grown and they're just gorgeous. So there's some good ones that I'll link in the show notes. And I also really like mushroom kits as something you can do in the library. And I also really like Bokashi compost bins. I had Bokashi compost bins in my previous library. They don't smell, I promise, but they're a really good way of being an urban composter and learning about the importance of compost in gardening. So that's sort of my 7,000 books and a few products, I guess, to recommend.
I think it's worth noting too, when you were talking about the junior readers, that a lot of the chapter book series will have a will include
a book about gardens.
There's often it's a theme that often comes up in those sorts of conversations. And middle grade reads, I mean, obviously when you're looking at the classics like The Secret Garden, I mean, honestly, my obsession with walled gardens came from that. I have an obsession with walled gardens and turrets, which I think I've talked about the turret quite a lot. But the walled gardens, there's a reason that there are walled gardens in all of my series. Like there's one in the Mapmaker Chronicles, there's one in the Adaban Cipher novels, and there's one in The Firestar, the first Maven and Reeve. And it's partly just my absolute obsession with walled gardens.
Do you think that, like, what age? I was going to recommend The Secret Garden because I'm the same. I remember reading that my granddad, who was the biggest gardener in my life, he gave me that book and I was the same. And I still, to this day, I just want a walled garden. What age do you think is best for The Secret Garden?
Well,
I think the most out of it.
I think it's one that comes up at the 10 plus kind of range. I think it's a read aloud, maybe. It's old fashioned and you need to be, we need to read it through the lens of it being old fashioned now in the sense of, the social mores and the way that
inspiring, but isn't it?
Yeah. And the way that people, speak and act with each other in some ways. But yeah, I just love the whole idea of that growth of the garden and the growth of the characters. And that, of course, is the key to the whole thing. There are probably newer middle grade novels that feature gardens that we have not touched on because we do not have 8,000 hours to do this.
Please tell us what they are.
Yeah, that's possibly, yeah, like if you've got some recommendations, but it's also something I think we could probably look into doing as a separate, the garden involved in a story like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be worth us having a conversation about. But the other thing I wanted to add too is that the idea of garden design and the building of gardens is also something like recently, like we often get asked about books about, growing vegetables and books about growing, all of that sort of stuff. But recently we did have a question about landscape design, which is not as widely covered. Like the actual garden design area is not as widely covered in children's books. So a school was getting a landscape team in because they were rebuilding, the garden. And the member who asked the question was looking for books to help school students understand what was happening because there's a lot of, if you're going to build a landscape, if you're going to rebuild a landscape, there's a lot of demolition that actually takes place first. Like you clear a lot out to then start putting things back in. So some of the suggestions that were offered were Piers for Permaculture by Sharon Baldwin and Tia Madden, which is an early picture book about, building a garden from scratch, because of course permaculture often involves layers and where are you going to put your chickens and where's your goat going and that sort of stuff. Let's Build a Backyard by Mike Lucas and Darren Parton, which actually has a grader on the front. Like they're actually like clearing a whole space out to then create a new backyard with a pond and, various things. And then again, Demolition by Sally Sutton and Brian Lovelock, where they actually demolish a building to build a new playground. So it's all about, things coming down so that new things can go in and come up. And I thought that was a really interesting angle to take.
That's a great way to love it.
Really good. So I think that probably covers the gardens for today, but clearly we have more room for more garden talk a little bit down the track. And if you are a regular listener, you'll know that we do love a good garden chat. But we should probably move on. And I am moving on to my quick tip for this week, which is actually for children's authors ahead of Book Week. And I was reminded of this because I shared in the Your Kids Next Read community, the Facebook community this week, we've got some new Your Kids Next Read postcards that we have had printed. Have talked about this? I'm just now wondering if we've actually had this conversation.
I don't know that you have. You and I have talked about it.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know that you've talked about it.
I can never remember if we've actually talked about it and recorded it or if we've just talked about it. But we had them done ahead of the teacher librarian conference that we did recently. And I shared the designs in the Facebook group just in the last couple of days. And I just wanted to say that if you are a children's author, you know, coming up to Book Week, Vistaprint is your friend. This is not sponsored, but we did our postcards through vistaprint.com.au and it was simple and it was painless. It's a relatively low cost promotional tool. And what makes it so great is that it gives you something concrete to give people with your book covers and your details on it. And of course, postcards make great bookmarks. So as a children's author going to school visits, one of the things that you're often doing is you're talking to big groups of kids, but you're talking to the end user, not to the person who then, you know, buys the book. And so what you do with a postcard, if you hand them out at school visits, is it's a visible cue for parents. So if the student comes home and says, "We had this author in today and these books sound amazing. I want to read this." There it is on the postcard. It's easy for them, you know, to work out, you know, what it is that the child is actually wanting to read. So my tip is to get them professionally designed because it's not expensive and it does make a big difference to what they look like. And then you can pop along to vistaprint.com.au, upload the file, and voila, they turn up in the post, you know, about 5 days later. I think it's like magic personally. So that's my quick tip, you know, is just to, you know, get yourself a small run of postcards and have something concrete to hand out with your book cover on it and the details on it. What about you? What have you got?
My quick tip this week is don't forget verse novels. As I said, I've been carrying.
How could we?
I know.
I was so enthusiastic.
I was. I've been carrying Sunshine on Vinegar Street around this week, but it just made me remember. And I've sort of talked to every teacher this week about how they're brilliant for class study and for recreational reading. Verse novels, for those of you who don't know, are essentially free verse poems, which when sequentially set form a narrative structure. They're really exquisite. The verse novelist removes all extraneous words, leaving only the most perfect of words to express the pure heart and soul of the story. I feel very passionately about verse novels. Mm. And in my book, Raising Readers, I really liked what Natalie Jane Pryor said in Chapter 8 about poetry. She said, "Nothing enriches a child's understanding of how language works more than poetry. Reading it teaches children to think outside the square, to see things from unexpected angles. In our modern world, this skill is becoming essential. Don't think of poetry as an optional extra. Think of it as a weapon in your children's arsenal for life." I thought that was such a powerful quote. And I've got a blog post, which I'll pop in the show notes, where I've listed lots of poetry anthologies and verse novels for readers 8 to 12. And I've just updated it with a few new ones, like Mina and the Whole Wide World by Cheryl Clarke, What Snail Knows by Kat Appel, and Bully on the Bus by Kat Appel as well. So I've just updated that with all of my new favorite verse novels, and I'll pop it in the show notes. But yeah, definitely add some verse novels into your school reading and your recreational reading is my quick tip this week.
Great. That's a great tip. Okay, we've come to the end of our 8,000-hour episode about gardening. What are you up to this week?
I'm ducking and weaving and sorting out the holidays because I'm well and truly, I was going to say at capacity, but I am
over capacity. You're always over. I don't even know why you kid yourself. You are always running over capacity. You're either got to up your capacity or you're going to take something out of the equation.
Yeah, the beekeeper and I really need to get onto the school holiday schedule and sort it out. We are not there yet, but we are going to sit down and do that at some point. We're gearing up to his very busy time of the year with almond pollination, but it's also my busy time of the year with book week. We're just not really facing any of it. We're kind of going day by day, but we've got lots of fun stuff on as well. And that's the problem. What do you say no to? Tomorrow we're off to a Queensland Beekeepers Association field day. And get this, the beekeeper and I are on a panel together. Like,
what are
we're going to
talk about?
We're talking about the importance of bee education for kids and how you do that and how you organize.
Is it just the two of you on the panel? Or is someone else going to have to try and get a word in?
Unfortunately, there's a third person who I feel really sorry for who owns a lavender farm and a bee excursion site farm. And I haven't yet met her, but I feel like there might need to be some timers and bells and talking sticks because we're just going to talk over the top of each other. But, you know, we'll do our best. It should be fun. So we're off to Toowoomba tomorrow with all of the kids to talk at the QBA field day.
Oh, I tell you what, the family that panels together stays together, right? Am I right? Of course I am.
I hope so.
What am I doing? Well, While You Are the Family That Panels Together, We Are the Family That Paints Together. So the builder and I are going to paint the laundry ceiling at my parents' house tomorrow, which is going to be. Yeah, let's not even talk about that because it doesn't ever go well. I just have to say that because he's a very hands-on and intense supervisor. So I get performance anxiety about my painting, which is not ideal. And the other thing I'm going to be doing, wait for it. Are you ready? I am going to be practicing my golf swing because I have one now.
What?
I know. I've had a lesson, one lesson.
Wow.
I've had one lesson. I have to practice. I've been given a drill. There's a drill involved in this. I have to stand in my backyard with my golf club and do a drill. And I've got 3 weeks before I go back for my second lesson. And hopefully I will have somehow improved.
So you're going to become a golfer.
Well, that's a strong way of putting it. I feel as though I'm just going to see how we'll see. I'm not sure.
How it progresses.
I'm not sure if I'm at the golf ruins a good walk phase of life or if I'm at the, I need a new challenge for my brain and my, I don't know. I'm not sure if I like the outfits. Anyway, I'm going to talk to Jackie Harvey because she's a great golfer and she has all the outfits and I'm sure she'll have lots of advice.
Really good. I mean, don't invest in the outfits until you know you're doing this
I'm investing in 3 lessons at this point. That's as far as we're going. I'm not investing in any outfits and I have no intention of going anywhere near a golf course with Jackie Harvey for quite some time to come. Like she lives on a golf course, I think. Can you imagine? No, I'm still doing air swings. You know, 1 in 10 is an air swing.
Well, I'm at the mini golf stage, so I am not coming to a golfing tournament with either of you.
Maybe there's like children's picture books on golf that I can, I might investigate. That could be funny. I don't think I've ever seen a children's picture book about golf. There should be one.
There's your new idea.
There's my new one right there. All right. Until we meet again and I'm practicing my golf swing drill, where can we find you?
You'll find me at childrensbooksdaily.com and you'll find me on Instagram and Facebook at childrensbooksdaily.
And you will find me at alisontait.com, alisontait.com. You will find me on Facebook and Instagram at Alison Tait Writer. I'm not at Twitter very much, but Al Tait, if you want to come and say hi. We would love to hear from you. So come and see us in the Your Kids Next Read Facebook community. And of course, we have a newsletter these days. We're very, very posh. You can find that at yourkidsnextread.substack.com. And we will see you next time.
See you later.